This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to Covered in Pet Hair, a boozy show for pet lovers on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Isabel Alvarez-Arada, and today I have the pleasure of having a drink and a chat with a girl crush of mine. I won't tell you her name yet, but she is a performer, an entertainer, a trick dog trainer, you name it, she's done it, and I will tell you all about her as soon as we come back from these messages from our sponsors.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Covered in Pet Hair. I'm your host, Isabel Alvarez-Arada, and today I have the pleasure of having a drink and a chat with a pet parent, an actor, a performer, and entertainer. She's a mental health advocate, dog TV host, and podcaster. She's an international trick dog champion, a dog trainer, an entrepreneur, an adventure seeker, and a road tripper. She's a coffee lover who likes to drink her bourbon. She's a trail hiker, a van dweller, who's originally from New Jersey and currently lives on Solomon's Island, Maryland. She's wife to Chris, mom to a six-year-old daughter named Ellowyn. She's dog mom to Beasley, Whidbey, who is also known as Kevin Bacon, Darby, Fuji, and Journey. She is the Chrissy Joy. Welcome, Chrissy. It's so good to finally have you on the show.
Hi, Isabel. It's so great to be here. I know we've been trying to do this for quite a while.
I know. I was so happy when we bumped into each other. And I think it was Fuji that was with you at Super Zoo last year.
That's right. He was just a pup. But yeah, we were on the floor doing all sorts of fun things.
Oh my gosh. I'm so excited to get into all of that. But before I do that, I want to introduce our drinking game today. So anybody participating at home, anytime you hear this word.
The secret word is Frisbee.
Take a drink of whatever you're enjoying, but please be over 21 in the U.S. to partake. Never drink and drive and always drink responsibly. So are you joining us with anything today?
We are not sponsored by Dunkin' today, but if anybody knows me, I always have my midday drink, which is going to be my Dunkin' iced coffee.
And it's like, okay, how do you order at Dunkin' so I can try what you do, what you like?
Okay. So I'm you know, trying to slim down and watch my calories. So I like to do a large Dunkin' with regular milk, with only 2 pumps of caramel, 2 pumps of sugar-free hazelnut. And then I just add in a stevia and it's perfect.
Oh my gosh. Okay. That's good to know.
So, yeah.
I'm a Starbucks girl.
Oh yeah. So I was, and I love my Starbucks, but I have a problem with them because like it's never hot enough. Like I even order it extra hot and I'm like, dude, come on. So, you know, when it comes to summertime, I get my hit of the Dunkin' iced coffee. And I kind of transition back and forth.
Yeah. So I'm always a Starbucks girl. I know what I like there. I agree with you. It has to be extra hot. If it's not burning my lips, like it's not a hot coffee, like it's not. And I sometimes really crave an iced coffee, but I don't really love anything that they do there, like from their standard menu. That's why I asked. Well, today I'm actually drinking something boozy because it's about to be happy hour for me. I did this in honor of you. This is an apple bourbon cocktail.
Oh, I love it.
And my glass, you can't even see it because it's the same color, but it says toasted on it, which is my plan for the evening.
Yeah.
To get toasted.
So fun fact, I used to work at a bourbon distillery and I used to live in Kentucky. So,
oh my gosh,
like bourbon and distillery. And my passion for that is like the history and the crazy parts about how like a lot of those places survived through prohibition and why they're in Kentucky. There's so much cool history about it. So I suggest if anybody has a chance in Kentucky to stop at one, you'll learn so much that you never knew.
Okay, so I'm adding that to my bucket list. Go get a history of bourbon in Kentucky. Yeah.
Choose one from the Bourbon Trail. I love Woodford Reserve.
Yes.
And we're actually trying to work on a project where they actually, they decorate bourbon barrels. So artists actually decorate bourbon barrels and then they set them up around the state for everyone to look at. And the money goes towards like a really good cause. So it's a neat project.
So cool. I love that. Well, you're obviously a traveler. You travel a lot for your job, basically. You go to sets, right? You go to events, you perform on TV. You were just on Jimmy Fallon. Is that right?
That's right. Last summer, we were just on set yesterday for FBI Most Wanted.
What does a dog have to do with the FBI Most Wanted? Is it a police dog?
I wanted to know if he was going to be a perpetrator as well, because I really, another fun fact you may not know about me, and this is kind of a unique thing that I can't explain, but when I'm on travel, I only watch like Forensic Files. I don't know why. I listen to criminal podcasts and I watch Forensic Files. I don't know if it's just like gearing me up to be extra aware of my surroundings, but it is my go-to. So yeah, FBI Most Wanted, Darby plays a character that has to do with just one of the, I don't watch the show heavily enough, but he just plays one of the dogs of, I believe, one of the investigators, I guess you'd call
them.
So
okay,
it's just a quick scene. I thought it'd be cooler. I was like, oh, maybe Darby like knocks out a guy. Like, it'd be so cool. nothing like that.
Darby's like, whatever. So long as there are treats there, I'll do it.
He had to catch a Frisbee. Yeah, to catch a Frisbee. It was like,
oh, is that what it is?
He was in his A game. He was his best day for him ever yesterday.
I love that so much. Well, I got to meet you at Super Zoo last year, but I know you were just at Global and I think you performed there. Is that right?
Yes, I performed for the Pet Summit at Global. So it's another event that goes really closely with Global. It was the first time they have done it. Oh, so cool. I performed with them. And then Global, we with Dog TV were, man, we interviewed hundreds altogether of different companies. And it was when we put together a lot of different content for them. So it was such a whirlwind. I walked 18,000 steps a day, probably.
Yep.
I definitely got a couple Dunkins on that trip. Not the low calorie version. I was like, let's go.
Yes.
But it was wonderful. My job there was to get more of the story. Yes. So I loved that because it's not so much about, hey, look at this cool product. It was about what inspired you to even start and how did you get here? And the coolest part is that we were able to give an award to Happy Dingoes, which is a company that just started in November of last year. And they won like a massive pet product award just a couple of months within opening their business. So it's just very inspirational.
Okay, that sounds familiar. What does Happy Dingoes have?
They're unique Lick-It mats and they have unique like supplement products, but the Lick-It mats were, I think, what was kind of the game changer. And so they just have really cool designs and then their mission behind it all. And, you know, it just really jumped out to APPA and Global. And so they were able to be one of the top winners.
That is so cool. Yeah, that's exactly what I do at Super Zoo is I go just to like meet the people. Obviously, I'm not a retailer. I'm not going in selling anything. I got nothing to sell, but I do like to see what's coming, what's trending, and who is behind that new product. Usually you'll find me in the emerging brands for that exact reason. Like, why are you here? And what is it that you think you're going to disrupt this market with? But I want to play a game with you because I've never been to Global. So I want you to help me figure out which one, if I had to choose one, which one would be better for me? So This game is called Global versus Super. And I'm just going to ask you quick questions and you have to choose one or the other. Are you ready to play?
I am ready. Let's do this.
Okay. Which one had better products?
I would say Global.
Which was better organized?
Oh, do I have time to answer this?
Yes.
Okay. Dang, organization. Ooh, I would say Global.
Ooh, because I've always thought Super Zoo was pretty well organized. So that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, and the only reason I would add a note there is that, and this may be like a, you know, left field situation, but me staying at the Luxor and access to the place was such a long haul. It was almost like almost enough for me to not like want to, you know? And so in the hustle, like, God forbid I forgot something. The layouts were both great. The maps and the apps, all that were great. But I definitely felt that the accessibility was different.
Got it. So the venue, you liked Global's venue better?
I did. Yeah.
Okay. Where was it? I just don't even know.
It was Orlando, Florida at the Orange County Convention Center.
Okay.
You know, and while Dog TV, we had a hall just back up to our rooms and all that crazy stuff.
Nice.
The floor was pretty easy to go around.
Okay, cool. And then which one had more dogs present?
Oh, man. I would say Global. I think I saw a lot more Global.
Really?
They seem more influencer forward.
Oh.
Yeah. So. Wow.
Which one would you recommend to pet parents?
Well, I mean, that's a great question because it's not really open on the floor for pet parents.
Yeah.
You can pay a good price to get in. I don't know if pet parents want to do that. I would say if you're a pet parent, go to Las Vegas because then you can go on the strip the rest of the night.
Okay, perfect.
So I'd say Super Zoo because you can make it like a fun vacation as well. Why not?
Yes. Yes, exactly. All right. And which one would you recommend to like a pet pro, like a pet sitter, dog walker, dog trainer?
That's a good one too. I might be right down the line with that one.
Either one, whichever it's closer.
Yeah. Go to which one's convenient for you. I mean, I think convenience, a lot of people are going to run to Global because, you know, Nevada's out there and Las Vegas is out there. But a lot of them have representations for products that could be used in the business. And a lot of those people went to both events. So I think they were both product and business forward. Yeah. So I think that's right. Which one's ever local to you? So I'd say give them each a point.
Okay. And then which one would you recommend to a groomer? Because I know Super Zoo does like a whole grooming extravaganza. Yeah,
I would say Super Zoo because they do a lot more. Like I didn't see a lot of grooming only type of stuff there for sure.
Okay, cool. And then which one was more fun for you?
Global, for sure.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I do believe that there's like they're more influencer friendly and open to that. And that was nice to see. So I saw a lot of influencers there. It was easy accessibility. It seemed to be just a really fun atmosphere that I jived with really well. My dogs were very welcomed in, great conversations, opportunities to come out of that people were very eager to do. You know, you have to keep in mind that it's really a business to business event.
Yeah.
So you coming in as an influencer or just public, they're really not looking for that because they're looking to do big buys with business to business. And I know that Super Zoo next year is going to be a little more careful about their influencers. So that's a big deal. So it's about like, if you want to be in a space that kind of offers that flexibility, I would like Global, but also because it was a lot easier for me to get to. I definitely didn't really love staying in the Luxor. And I had a young dog, so it was hard to do potty breaks and blah, blah, blah.
Yes, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the strip is not a place for like a dog walk.
No, and like having to go all through the casino, the way through. And it's a thing. I've had anxiety growing up. So for me also, it's a thing. I like to just be able to get outside. So you just having like quick access, like you're outside. Like for me, that was just a mental thing.
Yes.
But I could appreciate like the accessibility and how easy it was to be within Global and then, you know, out doing other things that I wanted to do.
That's really interesting. You should say that. The first time I went to Super Zoo, I stayed at the New York. So I had to take like the monorail thing over and it was like such a mission. And then the second time last year, I stayed at the Mandalay Bay, but it was still a hike. It's such a hike.
It is. And honestly, like, it is. And there was one really cool event we went for that was like, you know, for all the big wigs and like having this party and like nobody told me. They're like, oh, come on. You're like VIP. We'll get you in. I'm like, this is going to be great. They put me in an all glass elevator outside, which is like, not only am I have anxiety, but I hate heights. And so like they put me on this glass elevator that is completely outside. So you're just looking at everything around you and we're going up really, really, really high. It's called like the sky something. I don't know what it's called. But it's so up there. And they were like, I'm like literally standing at the doors like this. And they're like, look, Chrissy, isn't the view beautiful? I'm like, shut up.
You're like, know your audience.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. So it was, you know, there were some moments I was feeling the stress. And, you know, you just got to like, you know, Taylor Swift would say, you just got to like with her new album that just dropped, you just got to smile and, you know, fake it till you make it. But I felt that I was more stressed there. And Global was more like deep breath, freeing, super welcoming. I had all my dogs there versus just Fuji.
Ooh.
I had all four of them with me. Not because like, we stayed home, but yeah, I had a lot. And so it was a different environment, but the whole experience for me was very Global centric and just what I enjoyed.
Do you drive to these events?
Yes, I drive all of them. So it's very rare we fly ever. I'll be flying to LA to film a show in a couple weeks. With one of my dogs will come along, but I will always drive. That's really just what we do. You know, we went out to America's Got Talent during COVID and we actually drove because we drove from Maryland to LA because during COVID they weren't flying dogs. So we didn't have a choice. That was one of the things they tapered away from with the staff decreasing. So we drove. It's not my favorite.
sounds like a lot. Yes.
It is. Yeah.
Woo. All right. So how did you end up in the pet industry? Have you been doing this your whole life? What was your previous job if you had one?
Yeah. So, you know, I started out as a young girl who had anxiety and depression, really wasn't sure where to manifest that energy. And so I was just training my beagle, like by myself. This was like before you had access to like, let me YouTube it. Like there was no YouTube. I know it sounds really old saying that, but that wasn't that long ago. If you think about it,
it really wasn't.
I know all you out there judging me, but you know, I was like 6 or 7 at that time. But fast forward, I went to college for equine studies, which was horses. And I also had a passion for TV and film. So what I did was when I wasn't at college, when I wasn't doing that, I was going into New York City as a SAG actress. So if you're not familiar with SAG, that's Screen Actors Guild. Now it's Screen Actors Guild and the AF and AFTRA. So they're joined now. They weren't at the time. And so I did a lot of shows like Gossip Girl, Ugly Betty, 30 Rock, Damages, The Good Wife. That was like when all those episodics were really hot, right?
Yes.
So that's what I was juggling, was like my passion for animals and don't want city life to like being stuck in the city doing all this crazy stuff as an actress. But my passion was there for both. I just didn't know how to marry it properly. So my senior capstone project was actually providing horses for TV and film. And that was something I like worked out, wanted to do this. This is how I would do it, et cetera, et cetera. Fast forward to, you know, graduating college, doing some great jobs here and there, lived in Kentucky, you know, horses are expensive. So that was really not something I was ready. And the industry also wasn't very welcoming to be like, hey, let me take you in. So I bounced around quite a bit, met my husband who was in the Navy, adopted Beasley because I was actually at a really low point in my life. I just wasn't finding what I was doing and I wasn't happy. So I just like took a huge step back. I was like, I need to quit my job. I need to adopt a dog and go hiking. You know, like that's what I'm going to do. So I found Beasley and fell in love with training because I was like, well, I need to teach him some stuff and I haven't. So let me join a local facility, take some classes. And I fell in love with training so fast that they approached me and they were like, hey, don't you want to become a trainer? And I was like, oh, I never thought of that, but sure, you know?
Ooh.
So yeah, so I interned with them. They kind of just like grazed over the internship because I was like, let's do this. And I started training there. And honestly, it really came to me in one moment. I said, dang, my dog is really good. He's really stable. He knows all these tricks. And I miss TV and film. Like I could never just leave one alone. They were always going back and forth. So then what I did is I called my human agents. Hi, human agent, who's represented me for the past whatever years. And I said, where do you go when you need a dog? You know, where do you go? And now we have social media and websites, and they were like, oh, well, we go to so-and-so. And so I just started looking up on social and connecting. And to be honest, the biggest step forward for me was to be able to say, not only do I have a great dog, but I also have a dog that is going to be able to give you skills with a handler that knows set work.
Right.
And so I already knew not to run up to the director, not to run up to the actor, to, you know, the proper
etiquette.
What the day is going to be like. Like a lot of people don't know that. And that's a big learning curve. And for me, I'm like, I already know. So
yeah,
so that was a cool thing. That was really like, that helped me get my feet wet. And then of course it's reputation and word of mouth, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. So what does your daughter think about what you do? Does she think it's so cool that mom is on TV and that the dogs are on TV and she lives with them?
You know, it's so interesting. You know, I think just recently she started to realize that like, oh my gosh, that's Darby. Oh my, like, how did he get on that screen? And I think she knows now. But it's funny, like she doesn't talk about it. But if we do meet somebody, she's like, my dogs are on TV. Like the second thing she says, I'm like, Ellen, we don't have to like, doesn't have to be like what swoons people. Like it doesn't work that way. I think she knows it's a special thing. I don't think it makes her feel any different about her relationship with them. And I would say, to be perfectly honest, I have never, ever pushed her to be a trainer or to teach tricks. So if she wants to partake, I let her. If she doesn't want to, she doesn't have to. But I will tell you, she is such a sponge because she'll jump in and start training. And it's like, she knows what to do because she's just watched me. And I'm like, how did you just like pull that off? And she's like, look what I taught him. And I'm like, must be nice. You got all these trained dogs you get to play with. But you know, she's great at Frisbee. And so that's something that we're going to start doing together. She's 7 now. So she just turned 7. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah. So what we'll be able to do now is take her to Frisbee competitions and she'll be able to play and get more involved there. But what I think what she wants to do, that we're kind of cooking, she's like, well, I don't know if you ever like, I don't know if you have kids or have any nieces and nephews.
I do. I have 2 kids.
Yeah. So she's at the phase where she's like, I'm gonna sing, and I'm a singer. And I'm like, awesome. She actually has a beautiful voice. She's a very loud child. I don't know where she gets it from. And she's, I'm like, great, Elowen. Well, let's get you vocal lessons. And she's like, no, I'm perfect. I got it. And I'm like, Elowen, like, you really need to practice. Like, people practice. And she's like, I don't need to practice. I'm perfect. So she's at that phase of her life right now. But what we want to do is get her on stage and sing, and then have me do like tricks in the background.
Ooh.
And do a mommy daughter thing. And I think that she would love that, because she really always wants to get on stage. So
right.
We'll try to do that and just have some fun with it. But otherwise, they're her family. I mean, she cries when they leave. She misses them. She loves each of them for their own ways, for sure.
Yeah. So they live with you. These are dogs that are part of your family, but also performing trick dogs that are hired for their
Absolutely.
Work.
They're family dogs 90% of the day. And, you know, otherwise we compete and we trick train and we do social media. And when they get a job, I bring a lot of them with, or, you know, we kind of just give a couple to stay home. But they're both family. They sleep in beds. They sometimes sleep in their crates. It just depends on what's going on and what we're feeling for them.
But that's awesome.
They run around. They run the house half the day.
I mean, they are an integral part of the family. And I love that, because it's so important that not only do we see these dogs that are working dogs, but they're happy dogs too. They're family dogs too. Sometimes, you know, we see the extreme of working dog that lives in a kennel in like in a police station, and it only enjoys the family life once they retire. But in your case, they enjoy the family life throughout their career, which is amazing. Well, I want to take a break right here. As soon as we come back, Chrissy, I want you to tell us all the things you're teaching pet parents, sharing your knowledge of trick training with those of us who want to maybe follow in your footsteps. So don't go anywhere. I will be right back with Chrissy Joy.
Molly, here's your dinner. Zeus, that's not your food.
Don't let that happen to your precious cat. Elevate your cat's eating experience with the Cat Tree Tray. The Cat Tree Tray keeps your cat's food off the floor and conveniently located on the cat tree. It's the perfect way to eat. It's a beautiful wrought iron tray that easily attaches to your cat tree and keeps dogs and other critters out of your cat's dish. A must for multi-pet households. There's a 6-inch tray for large bowls and a 4-inch tray for smaller bowls. Purchase your cat tree tray today. Go right now to cattreetray.com. That's cattreetray.com. cattreetray.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Covered in Pet Hair. I'm your host, Isabel Alvarez-Arada, and I am speaking today with Chrissy Joy, the Chrissy Joy, who is a performer, dog trainer, actor, all of the above, and her dogs are all of the above too, because she's trained them for TV and film. And one of the passion projects that you have, Chrissy, is helping pet parents with emotional and mental health. That's something that's really like a passion of yours, based on probably your personal experience, as things you've mentioned just during this interview. Is that about right?
Yeah, that is correct. You know, I think we get lost with our dogs. We tend to focus on what the dogs need all the time and what the dogs are achieving all the time. But we're also kind of forgetting that people have such guilt or even imposter syndrome or other feelings, or they're dealing with their own baggage and nobody's there addressing it that also gets it. So that's, I want to be able to take care of the pet parent as much as we take care of our dogs.
Oh, I love that. That is so interesting. I've never heard anybody talk about it. It makes so much sense. So because I'm inspired by this kind of passion of yours, I want to give you 2 minutes on my handy dandy clock. This game is called Joy Soapbox, and I'm going to give you 2 minutes to get on a soapbox about whatever it is, whatever message you feel that pet parents need today, specifically dog parents, if that's where you're inclined, or just pet parents in general. Do you think you can do it?
I think I can. Just give me a warning when I'm talking too much.
No, I'll tell you when you have 10 seconds left. Here we go. Perfect. 3, 2, 1, go.
All right. So one of my biggest things is that we all get really thrilled to do more with our dogs. So whether it's a trick training, whether it's, you know, agility, obedience, whatever direction you're in, if you're listening to this and trick training has never been your thing and set skills stuff is not your deal, doesn't matter where you're coming from. We all want to see our dogs thrive. But I think one of the biggest things that keep us from thriving is the fact that, you know, we have social media in front of our face and we are constantly bombarded with quick gratification. And so therefore we are conditioned to wanting things immediately and expecting things immediately. And as we know with dog training, that's not always fair. And I want you to know that when you go on social media and you're watching even my videos and you're watching other people's videos and it looks like the results are coming tomorrow with whatever I want to do with my dogs, I just want you to know that there's so many moments that are taken out and reduced and edited and deleted, and things that I still haven't achieved with certain dogs that other dogs have done great with. I mean, I'll still have a dog that runs off and chases a squirrel, and I promise you, if that doorbell rings right now, they're all gonna bark. So I just want to normalize that, and I want you to not embrace social media in a way as that being a platform for you to judge where you are with your dog. And I want you to just remember to train the dog in front of you, because we have such expectations that we try to place on them, but it's about training the dog that's in front of you and not comparing yourself to the people that you see around you, whether they're people you idolize or it could just be people in your group class that you're taking. Everyone learns on their own path and yours might be a little bit longer, but at the end of the day, it's not about who's doing what better, because that's not really what matters. It's about building those relationships. How am I doing
That's
on time?
It. You did great. You had like 15 seconds left. So yes,
awesome.
Good job.
Okay,
that was beautiful.
Give your dogs lots of kisses.
I love it. That is such good advice. And you know what's funny is I can tell that you're a mom because
is it the hair?
No, God, no. You don't look like a mom. Oh. No, because of the philosophy, right? Because when it comes to raising another being, whether it's a dog, a cat, a child, there's so much of that. It's so much of I go out and I see my kid who is, you know, my kid has some special needs versus the other kid. And I'm like, oh, God, like, you know, I'm failing. Or if it's, you know, somebody's having a meltdown, whether it's the dog on the leash who's reacting to the mail truck or my kid who didn't get, you know, to open the presents at somebody else's party, whatever it may be, you know, okay. It's like it always comes back to me feeling a little bit inadequate or maybe like I'm not doing enough or feeling, and I never feel like a failure, but it's like, right. Oh, maybe I should have taken the time to listen to this podcast about this, or there's always more we can be doing and we're
so
hard
true.
On us.
It's so true. And I think that you nailed it on the head. And I think everybody really feels this way, is that you say in your head repeatedly, you're not doing enough. And yes. So, and there's little moments in your day when social media is not involved and you're finally resting with your family, there's little pockets where everything's okay. And then most of the day it's, I didn't do enough for this person or that person or this dog, or I should have done more. But that's the comparison chaos that's going to keep you from being happy. And life is way too short to be letting that dominate you. So you should be grateful for what you are achieving. And if there is room to do a little bit more, so be it. But I got to tell you, the people around you that you think are doing everything have their own battles and struggles too. Because let me tell you, I think Taylor Swift just said it best. I'm a Swiftie, so you have to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, he's like, I cry every day, but I'm productive. It's an art. I literally live that. So
I love that.
I don't actually cry, but sometimes in my soul, I'm crying
yes.
a little because I do get overwhelmed. I'm not perfect. I have bad days. So, but I just want you guys to understand that.
Yes.
And somebody that you revere and put up here. I did a speech at a certain event and it was all dog people. I handed out blank pieces of paper and I told all of them to write down their biggest pitfall, their biggest self-esteem issue, whatever it is, on a piece of paper. Tell me what's keeping you from advancing, right? And there are people sitting next to each other that idolize each other. So there's some big wigs, there are some other people, like it's a very mixed environment. And 99 of those papers came back and said they didn't feel they were good enough, or they had imposter syndrome, or they compared themselves to others, or they felt they weren't doing enough, or I think I already said that, but you know, or they had self-esteem issues of how they looked, like they didn't. But the crazy part is at the end of the day, all those people who are peers to each other were all saying the same thing. So
yes.
I'm sitting next to somebody else feeling that way, feeling they must be better off than I am. And they're feeling the exact same way. So it's a very, very common theme. And
yes.
I think that it just is something that if you could just reduce that part of your life a little bit, you're going to have a much better relationship with your family and when you train your dog.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's like we can beat ourselves up all day if we really chose to. There's plenty of reasons to do that if we want to look for them. But What should we be celebrating when it comes to the training process? Like, are there little things that we can look for when it comes to just like building the bond with the dog? Like, let's not even think about whether or not we succeeded at the trick, but like that process, is there something we should be celebrating in that process?
Yeah, I think it's just like getting your dog to engage with you and be eager and find what motivates them and celebrating the fact that you have a great training session with your dog by keeping it really short and sweet. So I always leave them wanting more because then I'm not burned out and they're not burned out. And then the next session, they're like, let's do it. So, you know, every time you bring out that motivator, it becomes a really high value. So that helps also if you're like dealing with a dog that gets super distracted, you know, everyone asks me, you must train hours a day. And I'm like, no. Like, I think I work new behaviors on each dog, like 15 minutes here and there, and not every dog even works every day. So it just depends. What I preach is perfect practice. So that's where kind of some of my courses have come to life, because I want to instill perfect practice, because then you actually don't have to train as long. And so that actually keeps my mental state really good with my dogs and my dog's mental state from feeling like they're just overworked and doing a lot.
Okay, so what does perfect practice look like?
Yeah, so perfect practice is basically if we're instilling a behavior or we're teaching a trick, our communication and the way we do it is key to stay consistent every time, and that we shouldn't reward maybe at some other random moment, or we shouldn't, you know, have the dog stepping or positioning in some way and then just reward it. Like, that's sloppy. Like, yeah, okay, you got it. You kind of halfway got it. Here's a treat. Like, no. Let's instill perfect practice. That may mean breaking it down in even more pieces, but I'd rather you be perfect in those eighths of a step than have three steps that you've kind of halfway through and you sort of got the trick in the end. I'd rather break it down and work on each of those sections with perfect practice, because then latent learning is huge. If you just take a little time, train it, and then step away, give the dog a day of rest, come back to it, you'll be like, wow, the dog's picked up on it way faster. So that's kind of something I've learned that has cut down a lot on teaching tricks or teaching patterns or even set work.
Okay, so you talk about treats and Frisbee. What other kinds of motivators do you use?
All right, so I use treats, Frisbee, squeakers, and balls are pretty much like not in my house, because I keep certain things of extremely high value. So for me, a squeaker and a ball is like, they're like, oh my gosh, the Holy Grail has arrived, you know, so that I am destined to have that dog be with me when I need them. So I will withhold some things that I just know are going to be super high value, because if you just provide it, it doesn't become as exciting. Yeah. And then, yeah, certain treats are, you know, saved just for those moments. And Frisbee is competitive, so I leave that for the competition arena. I don't usually train with Frisbee. It's too high arousal.
Okay.
Sometimes just praise. I think teaching your dog to appreciate praise is a motivator. And you can teach that by pairing it with food or toy. And they can learn that praise from you actually leads to reward. So then the praise becomes higher value.
That's really good advice. Yeah. So does that work with cats too? Do you think?
I am not your cat person.
No, because, you know, I have a cat that comes when called, but it's only because I go immediately to the pantry every time to get him his little freeze-dried treat. Yes. So I'm wondering if me calling him a good boy is going to be enough for him.
I don't know.
I know. Cats are different. Cats are different.
Are like, yeah, no, we don't. We have taxes for our affection. There's a tax we have to pay. Yeah.
He is the best cat. And I know some cat people hate it when you like compare cats to dogs, but he lives with a dog. So I think he thinks he's a dog in many ways. He used the doggy door and came back in instead of leaving us. So I think he thinks he's a dog. But yeah, I'm going to try seeing if my very high pitched good boy is enough to replace the treat. I don't know, it's good advice.
Start saying good boy, pair it with a treat, and maybe eventually you can phase out the reward. I don't know. It's a tough one.
We'll see. Well, I'm going to try it. But I think it's a really good idea to kind of get that positive association going. And then you're not always going to have your treat. You're not always going to have whatever you need to reinforce the behavior, but they're conditioned to think of your high, happy voice as a reward in and of itself. So that's fantastic. So tell us about your courses that you're doing. You are teaching perfect practice to pet parents, pet pros, everybody who's interested?
So I actually just launched a program a couple weeks ago. So first of all, I actually started training through BFF Pet Services. So I've stayed with them forever and they have an online platform. And so we filmed a bunch of content to live on the Teachable platform there. And I have some courses that live there that are like, do it your own pace. You can buy it now. Like I made one called The Foundations. I'm very passionate about, because that's how I started all of my dogs. And I finally sat down and said, it's working for all my dogs. Why don't I actually make this a program, because it's how I start my dogs, what I believe works, and it's worked for a variety of unique mentalities, drives, and breeds. So I created the foundations. We also have like tricks course, performance course, things like that. But what I'm really excited about is that I recently just launched my coaching and mentorship program. So this is one-on-one with me for a certain amount of time, months at a time. And not only are we going to be keeping you accountable and goal-oriented, but we're also going to work towards TV and film, set work, if you want to get on live shows, or if you want to just gain confidence with your dog, we're going to be covering performance tricks, that type of tricks. And my reason for this, the bread and butter behind it, is the mentorship. So we do calls, webinars, etc. But it's really meant to keep people accountable and be that person in their back pocket when they feel like they're getting left behind in their group classes, or they went to the great seminar, but they come home and they don't know how to instill half the stuff right. They learned, and you know, or they're doing stuff where the dog is not doing it right, and they just need to make a small change. So it's about like what we spoke about before, the coaching side, but also being that emotional mentorship that I think a lot of people are missing with their dogs.
Yes.
And the common denominator a lot of times is people just don't feel the confidence. And I want to be able to break that. And I want to be able to help people and then actually move them towards achieving goals in TV and film. I mean, some people just want to do it because they want to do a demo for a therapy dog program. Great.
Nice.
You know? So there's a lot of avenues you can take. You don't have to be someone who wants to see the name, the Hollywood sign and all that. But I'm thrilled because it's been such an emotional experience for people to talk to about getting involved in the program, because so many people are struggling with training their dog in between things and dealing with confidence, accountability, and staying motivated.
And what's the benefit for the human and the pet individually? Because obviously there's a bond there. But when it comes to like trick training, for example, I think people are like, why does my dog need to know a trick? But it's not really the trick that's really in question. It's the process and like you said, the confidence on both ends, the dog and the human.
There's a big, you know, when it comes to trick training, obedience can be very box-like. So you're being put in a box, the dog's put in a box. And although it's beautiful, don't get me wrong, but if you're a pet parent, that can get a little dry for you and your dog, especially if your dog has a lot of energy. It's a way to get that dog to also know different areas of its body. And the way you trick train gives the dog confidence with being handled different ways. Mm-hmm. So that's great and applies to like going to the vet and being handled by other people and just building confidence in overall to maybe even going off and doing dog sports because the dog has better knowledge of where his back feet are, how to pick his feet up, how to do the certain things. It's also great behaviorally because it helps dogs who deal with reactivity and deal with, you know, having anxiety and things like that. So it helps to kind of mitigate that and kind of change the thought pattern of a dog who's running races with their mind. So it helps them kind of like if they're barking at somebody or they're focused on something they're scared of, you can kind of do a spin or through your legs or offer a paw. I will say for me, when it comes to someone who deals with some anxiety, it's when I'm in public access and I'm trying to train one of my dogs to maybe be a service dog, it helps me have something to focus on and ground myself. Yes. When I'm like, okay, I'm like, don't feel like I can get out of here like a plane, right? It helps me focus on something else and engage back with my dog, which is something that's a comfort zone for me.
Yes.
And I think it's something the whole family can do. So you all can get on the same page with it. Your kids can love it. You love it. It's fun to show off. And the world of tricks is endless. So if it's a rainy day or a snowy day, or it's the wintertime, you can do it like right in your house. Mm-hmm. And it keeps the dog engaged and it's different use of the body and brain. And I think a lot of times, let me just end on this, is you can run your dog 5 miles a day, right? But you'll come home and be like, why is my dog still staring at me? It's because they need to be mentally enriched. And so that's where trick training is so cool, in the variety and ways you can teach tricks to your dog.
I love that so much. You've hit all the points that I was hoping you would hit, because I have never done trick training, but the more I learn about trick training, the more I see it as a really great alternative to obedience, as we were taught in an old school manner of dealing with our dogs. This is more collaborative, and there's so many like positive side effects for the dog, for the human. And I feel like trick training almost minimizes how amazing it can be, because it just sounds like trick training. Like, oh, my dog can do paw, but there's so much more to it. It's almost like a misnomer because it's so much more than that. Okay, so tell us about the gear that you've been thinking about creating or are creating.
Yeah. So I, you know, I love being raw on podcasts because I want people to realize I'm human too. So I've had like merchandise out for a while now. I just haven't I haven't talked about it because I have this weird imposter syndrome. Like who would want to buy a shirt from me? So I don't know. It's weird. I don't know. So I do have that.
But I'm a shopper. Are you kidding? Send me the link.
Okay. I will do so. I have been working on some training gear that I've been going really back and forth with this great company, just trying to make it just right. One thing I'll be passionate about is like a training pouch that meets all the needs that I would want, both at training my dog, but being on set. I've actually never talked about that before. So you are the first one to know.
Wow.
It's nothing too, I would say, like space age, like it's not silicone, that crazy stuff, but it's got enough in it that is exactly what I would need. So, you know, it's going to have different fittings and availabilities and, you know, got to fit your giant phone. Cause I have the new phone, which is like size of my face. You know, it's just got to meet those needs for me. And so I want someone to be able to like a one-stop shop, like everything's there and they can go off and do what they need. They're not stuffing stuff in other pockets or.
Yes, exactly.
So I'm excited about that. I do have merchandise. I did have someone buy the tights the other day and it looks so cute on her. So yeah, so I'm really excited about that. I will say right now though, based on, you know, as this airs, I do have a special project right now. I will just mention, but Beasley is painting eggs. So there.
That's right. I saw that on your socials. Yeah.
So it's super random. He like my child Elwin did it. And then I was like, I bet you Beasley could do it. And he could. And he actually being older, he actually really enjoyed this small space activity. So I am taking orders if anybody wants a custom egg made by him. And he has a really cool story too for another day. But some of that profit that doesn't cover materials and shipping will go to a local rescue here in Maryland. So not only are you helping my old dog enjoy a, you know, an activity that he gets to enjoy, but it's all for a good cause. And then you get a really cool customized egg that a dog made, which could be really cool. And it's wooden eggs, so they're not going to go bad.
Exactly.
But it might be cool to like gift to somebody or save for Easter next year.
I love that idea. I love art. So that is to me art. But I mean, it's amazing. I love that idea that the dog is creating the art. We don't have enough of that happening. And I saw the videos of him and he really is really good at it.
He really gets it. It was actually the first video I made was this first attempt. So he, once he understood what I was asking, he understood it. And then I kind of just let him pick the colors. And you know, for him, that was great. He loved it. For him, it was just like, it was an activity to keep him busy. And in the end, he did like a fantastic job. So I just sort of tried to think bigger with how we could make this something to help another.
Yes, of course. I love that. That's so special. And you'll have this forever. I just love that for you.
Yeah, for a while. He has plenty. So as long as he still likes to do it, we'll be keep doing it.
That's so cool. Okay. So where can my audience learn more about you and what appearances or things should we be looking out for?
Sure. So if you want to learn more about me, you can follow the Joy Crew on any social media or the Chrissy Joy and feel free. I'm an open book. Send me a message if you want to get involved in all the good things or take a look at my courses or just watch really cute dog videos. That's what we do there. We do offer some tips and tricks as well. And then I will be in Los Angeles filming a TV show until the middle of May. So,
wow.
It's still under wraps, but it's exciting.
That is so cool. Yeah. Well, I just want to propose a toast to you for taking the time to share your story with me. I knew I loved you, but I didn't know why. Now I have so much more respect for you.
Thank you.
I'm going to watch with more like happiness, knowing a little bit of the background between you, your dogs, how they live. So thank you so much. Here's to you.
Yay. Cheers.
I also want to propose a toast to my executive producer, Mark Winter. Thank you, Mark. And to our audience for joining us with these amazing pet lovers that were just sharing their whole story with us and giving us tips. I love doing this and I hope you enjoy this as much as I did. Here's to a life covered in pet hair because there's no better way to live. Cheers. To learn more about Covered in Pet Hair, please visit coveredinpethair.com or petliferadio.com. Thanks for watching and I'll see you next time.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand only on petliferadio.com.